Hey there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
Good morning. My name is Pastor Mike, sharing part four today of our series called Shipwrecked. We began this series with a story from the book of Acts, chapter 27, where the Apostle Paul is caught in a great storm, and him and the other sailors realize to save our lives, we're going to need to wreck the ship that we're on. And we took that as a kind of theme for this series, that there are perhaps metaphorically ships that we are on, that if we don't wreck them, we're going to wreck our lives. We need to wreck them to save our lives. We've talked about wrecking the ship of hurt. If we stay on that ship, we'll end up drowning in our hurt. We need to wreck it if we're going to save our lives. We've talked about wrecking the ship of opinion. And we've talked about wrecking the ship of disappointment. These are ships that, if we stay on them, are going to take us away from the great purposes and the goodness and the favor of God for our lives. We'll end up drowning in those things and missing out. But God is calling us to wreck some of those ships. And today I want to talk to you about wrecking the ship of self. Wrecking the ship of self. Self is a disease that runs through our blood. We are all, at some level, dealing with a tendency to be selfish. I probably more than you. I have self just running through my blood. You know, I've recognized in so many of my struggles, in temptations, whatever they are, self is there all the time. If I'm greedy and I'm tempted to be greedy, it's because I want to please myself. If I'm struggling with a temptation to lust, it's because I want to put myself before others. If I'm struggling with anger, it's because myself. If I'm struggling with any temptation, I find myself is there all the time trying to dictate my life, trying to tell me which way to go. And I've found that if I'm not actively working hard to wreck the ship of self, if I'm not working to kill the sin in me, it will take me places I never thought I would go. I don't want to go. It will take me away from God's purpose for my life if I'm not actively recognizing, acknowledging, and wrecking the ship of self. And what I want to say to you this morning, hey, I want to encourage you, but this is not going to sound encouraging, is you're probably like me. You don't necessarily always realize until you think about it just how selfish we can be as human beings. We're not always aware enough of how much ourself dictates the decisions we make and the way that we live. And if we're not aware of it, it will drown in ourself. It will take us places that God never intended for us to go. Here's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. The writer of Hebrews is imploring us to wreck the ship that is taking us away from God's purpose for our life. And he uses this word, the sin that so easily entangles. And I was considering that in the message today. And I think selfishness is like the sin that so easily entangles. Yeah, it's subtle self. It's not as obvious as some other sins. The sin of self is so subtle it can easily entangle us without us even realizing it. And we can find ourselves doing things, saying things, making decisions, acting in ways that are actually really full of our self. And it's really easy to get into that trap. So this is the sin that so easily entangles. The ability to be selfish is, in my life at least, I hope I'm not the only one, it's without bounds. I can be super selfish. Now, I know I'm in this ship, and I know if I live in this ship of self, I'll drown in it. I spend too much of my life focused on me. And actually, culture doesn't help us with this, does it? Our world is full of ways to indulge self, promote self, comfort self, appease self. It tells us that actually, almost like a moral of our society, is to find yourself, express yourself. Our world is shaped and built to give us or create an environment for ourselves to thrive. I actually don't want myself to thrive. I want to find who God says I am and what He has given me to do. And I want to run after that, even if that means sacrificing self. That word sacrifice is really hard sometimes for us to really enjoy, or it doesn't sound good, does it? Sacrifice. And yet the path to real life is a path of sacrifice. The world is finding out, perhaps some slower than others, that you can give yourself everything that yourself wants and is still not enough. Our self is never satisfied. Our self is never fulfilled. When we fill it with everything we can in the world, it still wants more. Our self is insatiable. Only God can truly fulfill us and give us life to the full. But that path is, the Bible calls the path narrow rather than wide. Narrow because not many people are willing to sacrifice self in order to find who we really are in God. You know, sin can be described in a number of ways, but there are two kind of biggies that I think are really important for us to grasp. The first one, sin, can be described as idolatry. Idolatry is when we make a good thing into a God thing. We take something God has created and we make that created thing God in our lives. So whether that's another human being, whether that's like a career, whether it's money, material possessions, sex, anything that pleases and pleasures the self, when we then take that thing and we make that a God in our lives, we make it too important, we make it of primary importance, more important than God and His purpose and His will for our lives, what we've done is we've committed the sin of idolatry. And idolatry, as I've said, is making a good thing a God thing. And why? Why do we commit idolatry? Well, because of self. Because we want to please the self, protect the self, promote the self, help the self. Our self is behind our idolatry. The second way we can talk about sin, the second big way we talk about sin, is really the sin of pride. And so idolatry is making a good thing a God thing. Pride is when we make ourselves gods. Ourselves God. So we want to promote self. We want control. We want to determine things. We want to make the decisions. We may at times accept the counsel of others and maybe even God, but really at heart, we're in control of this thing. We are in control of life. And the self is really at the heart of pride as well. So you can see how self is running through our blood. It's running like a disease in us as human beings. It's in me, it's in you. And self, if we're not careful, is going to lead us to idolatry, it's going to lead us to pride. Both those things are going to be great stumbling blocks in keeping us from the very purpose that God has for us, the life that God has for us, the fullness that God has for us. And what we will find, as I've already mentioned, is that we can chase both those rabbits down the hole and we will never really be satisfied in them. They will never be fulfilled. We can try and attain all the material possessions we can and our self will not be fulfilled. We can follow the career to the top of the chain and not be fulfilled. We can have sex with as many people as we possibly can and never really be satisfied. We can get all the money in the world and still it not be enough. We can become the most famous, important people in the world and our self will still not be satisfied. Self is a disease and there is no way that ship is going to take us to life. It only steals life from us. And our culture doesn't help us again in this area of identity, because here's what culture will say to us. You've got to find yourself and then express that self confidently. That sounds like a really good message, but Jesus told us years and years and years ago, 2,000 years ago, that's a really bad idea. Here's what he said in Matthew chapter 15. He was talking to the Pharisees who were really obsessed with staying clean on the outside. They had lots of rituals for cleansing hands and their bodies and faces and so forth. And what Jesus was trying to say to them was, look, you can be really clean on the outside, but it's what's inside that defiles us. It's what's inside that makes us dirty in the eyes of God. It's what's inside, inside's where the problems are coming from, okay? So there's no point being really clean on the outside if we're dirty on the inside. Here it is in Matthew 15. He says, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. There was a real focus in those days on the outside. And Jesus saying, no, it's what's on the inside. That's what's defiling you. That's what's ruining you, spoiling you, corrupting you, is what's coming out of the heart. You see, that stands in great contrast to this moral of today, which is to find ourselves by looking at our hearts, discovering whatever comes from our hearts, and then being free to express that identity upon the world. And if really being confident with that. But Jesus would say, hey, look, if you're looking in the wrong place, if you're trying to look for a sense of worth and value and identity that you can be confident in, and you look to the heart, you're only going to the source of your problems, your selfishness. All of your sin comes from there. The only place we're really going to be able to find life and identity and value and worth is not by looking within, but by looking above, by looking to Him, the Creator who created us. And only He knows why, and only He knows what for. But as we seek Him, and as we cease with the self, as we wreck the ship of self, we can find who we are and what He's got for us. And then we will find fulfillment and life and hope and healing and wholeness. You see, culture is just priming us to give the self everything the self wants. Self is driving so many issues in the world today, but hey, as I said at the beginning, it's probably driving so much of what we do and think and say, driving so many of our decisions. There's a guy that's called Stephen Kendrick who said this, almost every sinful action ever committed can be traced back to a selfish motive. It's a trait we hate in other people, but justify in ourselves. Self is a ship that we need to wreck. Jesus knew this when He said this to His disciples. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and come after me. Now that's a message that's needed in our hearts and lives today. To be a true disciple of Jesus, two things. Deny ourselves, bear our cross, and come after Him. Does that sound like my discipleship? Does that sound like you? Are we daily denying self, wrecking the ship of self, stopping the tyranny of self in our lives, and putting God and others before us? Are we making decisions daily to say, self, I know what you want, I know what you're dictating, I know what you're desiring, I know what you're saying, but I am not going to be on your ship anymore. I'm wrecking that ship, and I am going to put God as number one in my life. Even if that means I have to sacrifice some of what myself is saying, He is no longer going to be the dominant decision maker in my life and in my heart. You know, some of us will really struggle with that verse. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. Why? Because it clashes with the heart of the problem, doesn't it? Doesn't it just cut right across our real issue? Deny myself? But what about what I want? What about what I need? What about what I thought I would do with my life? What about what I want? And Jesus saying, that's not the path, that's not the ship that's going to get you to life. Wreck the ship of self. Choose to make God more important than even the things you want and think are good. He's saying, wreck the ship of self and come after me. If you come after me, you'll find love, you'll find acceptance, you'll find hope, you'll find life, you'll find fulfillment, you'll find it. But if you stay on the ship of self, you'll drown with it. Can I ask you the question, whose call is more important to you? The call of yourself or the call of Jesus Christ? You may be a Christian, but is Jesus Lord of your life? Is he Lord or is self still Lord? Get real. Be aware of how this disease of self is affecting you. Confess it. Pray it. Spot it. And with me, let's go on that journey. It's a difficult one, but let's start wrecking the ship of self and determining that God will be number one. And others number two, and self way down the pecking order. Recognize that maybe the thing keeping you from all the things you've wanted from God all along has been the fact that you're still number one, not him. And if you're watching this morning, you've never given your life to Jesus Christ before, may I encourage you to recognize he is God and Lord. And if you can today repent, which means just change your heart, change your mind, repent of our idolatry, of making good things God things, and repent of our pride where we've made ourselves gods and we've just chased everything to fulfill self. If we can repent of that and say, no, God, I recognize life is in you. In this moment this morning as you pray, God can completely change your life and fill you with everything that you've always wanted. Can I pray for you? Dear Jesus, you are life and love. Everything we need is found in you. Our identity, our hope, our purpose, our freedom, happiness, joy, peace is found in you. Not in the quest of self, but in the quest of seeking you. May we do as you have called us to bear our cross daily, sacrificing, wrecking the ship of self, and coming after you. And as we do so, may we find life and life to the full. For every person that has never given their lives to you before, may this morning they find the conviction that they're feeling within themselves right now, the courage to pray to you and talk to you about this. In Jesus' name, amen.